comes to me. Why has this happened to me? Mary hears these words from her cousin Elizabeth after a long journey. The angel Gabriel has told Mary that she is pregnant with God's child, Jesus. Some pregnancy announcements are filled with joy. Some are filled with existential dread. Second century Roman occupied Palestine was not a great place to be an unwed teenage mother. I am sure that Mary heard and saw what happened to women and girls, to children, who men, usually a relative or a trusted friend, decided to violate, decided to impregnate. Mary knew that at best, her community would ostracize her when her body began to change to house her child, Jesus. And at worst, she would be honor killed before she could have the opportunity to deliver. Here I am, Mary says to the angel Gabriel. Let it be with me according to your word. And almost immediately, she packs her bags and journeys on foot to the house of her cousin Elizabeth, the wife of the priest Zachariah. Why has this happened to me? That the mother of my Lord comes to me? Elizabeth asks. Why? Elizabeth, the author of Luke, is eager to tell us many times as getting on in her years. Perhaps she is 35. The age that pregnancies today are called geriatric. Perhaps she is older. But what we do know is that both she and her husband, the priest Zachariah, who we heard about from Liz last week, have tried for children, and their marriage has not produced any, despite them leading righteous lives. Why has this happened to me, that the mother of our Lord comes to me? Elizabeth knows what it is like for her body to leave expectations unfulfilled. Elizabeth knows what it is like to have her community talk about her, wonder. What did she do wrong to be barren? And she has survived. Elizabeth married out of her hometown of Nazareth to Zachariah, who lives near enough to Jerusalem to carry out priestly duties there. She has survived away from the community of her mother and father, but they have kept in touch. Mary, probably at least 20 years her junior, knows who she is, knows how to find her. Maybe Mary would stay with her when it was time to go up to Jerusalem for the Passover. I bet it was easy to see Elizabeth's hardship and how it had not closed her heart, but cracked it open. When vicious gossip and personal disappointment broke her heart, Elizabeth's heart healed bigger. Why, asks Elizabeth, why has this happened to me, that the mother of my Lord comes to me? I imagine that Mary knew that Elizabeth was a relative who would listen to her extraordinary story and feed her favorite snacks, that Elizabeth wouldn't ask any questions, wouldn't take the narrative away or undermine Mary's being through her unexpected pregnancy. Elizabeth is that relative who believed you when you told her that the unthinkable had happened. When I was a freshman in high school, the unthinkable happened to me on a school acting trip. Years later, when my Western Massachusetts aunties were legally getting married, I tried to articulate how, in a toast to them, they provided a place for me to be when I couldn't tell the story of the unthinkable in any sort of coherent or linear way. It was still ringing in my body. The trauma of dissociating to get through that, that my body had done so instinctively. I toasted them for providing me a space to begin to connect back to my body. When I had tried to say that something very bad had happened to me in London on that trip and that it was unthinkable, there was no crosstalk, no. There was no, well, are you sure? No telling me that I didn't say no loud enough. There was definitely no telling me with big, earnest eyes that it was not my fault, and I did understand that, right? No. They took in what I said, nodded, I think, and then they took me swimming in rivers, and they fed me with good food and with copious snacks. In my own adult life, I have listened to friends and to family members tell me about when the unthinkable happened to them. I have recognized the ziggy-zaggy time hop way that trying to say what happened goes. It breaks my heart, the familiar shape of the narratives. How well I know that. As a listener, I listen to them. I listen to how my body is doing. Then I listen to how they're reading, how I'm listening to them. And that listening is also a prayer. It's a prayer that the kingdom of heaven will break through and that we will all know it. Because when the kingdom of heaven breaks through, we are listening to each other. We are listening to ourselves. And we are listening to how we're being heard. Today, we live in a country that has elected a man who brags about doing the unthinkable. He lives in a kingdom where the highest virtue is taking, not listening. Last Saturday night, I sat next to a 20-something-year-old girl and her mom at the bar at Aldi La, just like over that way. And she told me about how she had noticed that street harassment was worse after the election where she lived in LA. And her mother piped in, "Yeah, I was actually really worried when you told me about that time." "Mom," the daughter cut her off, "I don't want to talk about it. Not here, not at a restaurant bar, not before their Kacey Musgraves concert." I saw that her body remembered that time. Really quickly, and she didn't want to go there that night. Why has this happened to me, that the mother of my Lord comes to me? Does your body remember quickly? So here at St. Lydia's, I have been talking about some terrifying things. Even though they are a part of our story, if you know where to look, if you know how to listen, they are still terrifying. I'm going to take a beat and touch my heart, and I invite you to do the same. I'm going to say thank you to my heart for keeping time through all of this. Thank you, heart, for keeping time. And next, I'm going to stomp my feet, and you can stomp your feet, because I am angry. I am angry that the unthinkable is such a significant part of so many people's experience, and that we don't tell these stories because there's even a possibility that we may be dismissed or gaslit. Good grief, I am angry. I invite you to stomp with me. And lastly, I invite you to put your arms around yourself. Feel how your breath moves your arms, and know that God weeps and rails when someone, anyone, you, your friend, has to live through the results of an assault in their body. Why has this happened to me? That the mother of my Lord comes to me. Tonight, let us honor those who have been Cousin Elizabeth in our journeys. Let us honor our capacity to be Cousin Elizabeth. For all of us bear Christ, and listening and making space for each other's suffering, we are both Christ and bearing witness to Christ in the other. Let us celebrate all the ways that we bear Christ. And let us remember Elizabeth's celebration that when she heard Mary's greeting, the child in her womb leapt. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit, and she exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why has this happened to me, that the mother of my Lord comes to me? For as soon as I heard the sound of your greeting, the child in my womb leapt for joy." The fruit of Mary's womb would grow into a man who would stop a crowd from stoning a woman accused of adultery, a man who would insist that what goes into your body cannot defile it. If I were John the Baptist, like in utero John the Baptist, I too would be doing backflips inside Elizabeth's womb for the upcoming nativity of this example of biblical manhood.